I cometh before you once againeth. You know, you don't do that. You just talk to him like you would talk to anybody without some of the adjectives, you know, usually stuff like that. But just talk to the Lord plainly and clearly in prayer. But Jesus gives us some clues about some of the topics we should involve in our prayers. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, or it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So it starts out with just some worship. In your prayer, just say, God, I love you. You're the Most High. You're my Creator. I love you today. You can start out simply like that. So a topic when you begin to pray is just, God, I love you, and I acknowledge that you're amazing. And then it says, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you should just include, God, I want your will in my life. A great thing to pray is for God's will. Sometimes we pray our will, and then we jump off and run off, and we don't find out what the Lord's will is. So it's really awesome when you pray to say, God, your will be done on earth, in my life, in my family, on my job, in my home. Your will be done right here, just like your will's done in heaven. Just ingredients in our prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I just ask you to meet all my needs. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Sometimes the only time we pray is when we're asking for something, but prayer should involve that praise. It should involve lots of other things as well. But definitely ask for things in your prayer. God, I need you to meet my needs. Today, I have a financial needs. Today, I'm not feeling so good. I need healing. Today, God, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. I need whatever's going on. I'm not feeling good emotionally today. Lord, I need your help. Whatever's going on, you can just ask the Lord to meet your daily needs. Forgive us our sins. That's a great prayer to pray. Maybe every day, God, forgive me of my sin. And I'm going to forgive everybody who sinned against me. Great prayers to pray. If you would pray that prayer every day, wow, could life get better or what? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. What a great prayer. It's like I'm going to go intentionally run towards evil. No. Deliver me from evil. Don't lead me into temptation. Don't let anything lead me into temptation. Keep me away from that, God. Deliver me from evil. And then look what it says after this. And then he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, saying, do not trouble me. The door's locked and shut. The children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, but because you keep knocking on his door, because of your persistence, he will rise and give you as many loaves of bread as you need. That was before they had pistols beside their bed. Today you may not want to just keep bounding on the door, especially if it says this house protected by Smith and Wesson, you know, or something like that. But he said, if you'll keep asking, if you will keep praying, you will get your needs met. And you know, sometimes we're not getting our needs met. We're not praying. We're not asking. And Jesus is saying, you need to keep asking, and you will get your needs met because of your persistence. And verse 9 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. You don't just ask once or seek once or knock once. You keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, and it will be opened unto you. And then he says in verse 10, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks will find, and to everyone who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion If you then, being evil, and then he didn't say you're all evil, he just said, compared to me, you then being human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so Jesus has said, I am going to teach you how to pray, but I want you to know my heart as you pray is to give you your answers. My heart as you pray is to provide your needs. My heart as you pray is not to give you a bad thing when you've asked for a good thing. My heart's to give you the good thing, and I will do that. So if you will delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you good things. Good things. Last week we said you might be surprised where your best feelings come from. If you would seek God, you would find he would meet your needs and satisfy you and fulfill you better than anything else you've ever tried. Better than anything else you've ever tried. So prayer is an awesome thing, and we need to have prayer as one of the things we use to delight ourselves in the Lord. The second one is Bible knowledge. Psalms 119 verse 11 says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Today we have a daily Bible reading all year long. For 3 years now at the Life Center, we do daily Bible readings as a congregation. If you're not doing that, please do that with us. There's bookmarks back there at the Information Center. They're available to you. It has 6 months at a time on there. We're in 2 Timothy right now. And if you go to the church's Facebook page or my personal Facebook page, I write a commentary on there every day regarding what we're reading together as a congregation. Bible knowledge, if you'll hide God's word in your heart, you will not sin against the Lord. That's something that David is saying. This is one of my practices of delighting in God, David is saying. And David was a man after God's own heart. David is the man God bragged on the most, more than any man ever on the planet. God bragged on David. And he said, this is the kind of heart I love. And David's heart was, God, your word will keep me from sinning against you. But the opposite of that is your word, not only does it keep me from doing the bad stuff, it enables me to do the good stuff. It teaches me what the good stuff is. And there's a whole bunch of other verses in your notes that you can go home and read, verses 16, 24, 35, 47, 70, 77, 92, 143, and 174. Every one of those verses, David uses the word delight. I delight in your word. I delight in your commandments. I delight in all of your sayings, God. And he delighted himself in the Bible, in the word of God. There's so many great translations today that you can't understand. Don't say, well, I can't understand it. Yeah, you can. There's so many great translations. There's so many Bibles. You can buy study Bibles, Spirit-filled life Bibles that will just explain everything to you in great detail. We do Bible teachings all the time. Wednesday night, show up on Wednesday night at 6:30, and right here in this back room behind the stage, we talk about the whole week of our Bible reading. If you have any questions, we'll answer those questions for you. Our life groups talk about Bible all the time. Sunday school is at 9:15. We teach the Bible classes all of the time. So Bible knowledge will help you delight yourself in the Lord. To delight in God, you must know him. You must know him. Say, well, I don't know the voice of God. It's because you're not hanging out with him enough. You're not delighting yourself in him. When Kari calls me on the phone, she doesn't have to say, hi, this is Kari. I recognize her voice. My dad, my mom, many of you, I recognize your voice. And if you hang out with God long enough, you'll know him. You'll recognize his voice. You won't have any trouble deciding what his will is and what his will isn't. So delight yourself in the Lord with your Bible knowledge. Number three is church attendance and fellowship. Wow, you're going to talk about that? Yeah, it's one of the basics of Christianity. Ever since the beginning of time, God instituted Christian leaders. God instituted church services since the beginning of time. It's his will. The whole New Testament is full of how do you operate in the New Testament church, and you have elders and all of the functions of the church gatherings and the meetings. And so that's very important. Christianity is not an isolation thing. It's a body thing, and we'll look at several verses about that today. But church attendance, Psalm 92, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So if you're planted in the... Anybody doing any planting yet? If you're planted in the house of the Lord, not transplanted once a month somewhere, occasionally show up. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. If you're planted in the house of God, you'll flourish. And we can look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And the author here, most people think it's Paul, is writing this book also. Verse 24, he said, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." When you come to church, we're supposed to stir you up. You're supposed to stir each other up to love and good works. That's what's supposed to happen here. And you need us, each other, the people behind you, across from you, to stir you up a little bit towards love and good works. And the next verse says, "And let us consider one another," and that was that verse. Verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching." So it says, don't forsake the assembling together, but do it even more often as you see what's the day that's approaching, the day of the second coming of God, the day when God comes back and sets everything right on the planet. As that day is approaching, and some people say, that could be today, that could be tomorrow, time's short. People look at the signs of the times and what's happening on the planet, and they're saying time is short. Jesus could come back anytime, but as you see the day approaching, even have more desire to get together and hang out with each other. And it doesn't just have to be right here on Sunday morning, although that should be a regular practice for us. But you can go to the Dutch Oven Cookout at Forest House in a couple weeks and hang out there. You can stay and have potluck with us and hang out there. You can come to a life group tonight somewhere and hang out at one of those. You can invite us to your house, and we can invite you to our house, and we can just hang out together and assemble together. We can do all of that. So church attendance is one way you delight yourself in the Lord. You know that the church is called the Bride of Christ. The church is the bride. If you start talking bad about my wife, you and I are going to have problems. And I hear people talking bad about the church, and I hear people talking bad about pastors and congregations and this church and that church and here a church, there a church, and everywhere a church, you know. And God loves the church. You are the church. This building isn't the church. You know why we don't call this room the sanctuary? Because it's not. I'm here during the week, and you aren't here, and it's not that special. You know what makes it special? It's when you show up. That's what makes it special, because you're the body of Christ. You're the bride of Christ. But when we get together, when we assemble together, the joy, the peace, the benefit is just multiplied over and over and over. So one of the basics of delighting yourself in the Lord is hanging out with His bride, hanging out with the body of Christ, hanging out with the church. Number four is serving. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're talking about delighting ourselves in the Lord. I don't have this part in your notes, but I was just thinking during worship, I was just thinking about the parable of the sheep and the goats. And in that parable, Jesus says, there's coming a day when I'm going to separate a group of people on my left and a group of people on my right. And the group of people on my right, I'm going to say, well done, enter into the joy of the Lord, you know, the great things that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds like I'm going to finalize the desires of your heart. You have delighted yourself in me, and I have this final reward for you. It's called heaven. It's called you're with me forever. It's an amazing thing. But he said there's two groups. And the group on the right, they get that speech and they get this experience. And they said, but Lord, I don't understand. What's up with that? And he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was sick and in prison, you visited me. He said, Lord, we never saw you in any of those conditions. He said, no, but when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And what he's saying is when you served your fellow man in their need, you loved me. You delighted yourself in me. And I am going to give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to do that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. I'm in the wrong book. Let me get over here. And he himself gave, this is talking about Jesus, when he ascended back into heaven, he gave some gifts to us. He himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. You know, the word pastor is just a fancy word for servant. The word bishop is just a word that its root is servant. That's all it means. Sometimes we think, oh, pastor, they're really big and important. Nope, they're just supposed to serve more and harder than anybody else in certain capacities, you know, and they have a different assignments than other people. But we're all supposed to be these servants, the apostles, the prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Verse 12 says, their job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that says that my job as a pastor or as an apostle or as an evangelist or as a teacher, my job as a prophet would be to teach you to do ministry, to teach you to serve. My service is to teach and train and inspire you to serve. And when I do my job and then you do your job of serving, the body of Christ is edified and built up and grows. The church grows, you grow, I grow, everybody grows if we serve. And God says, you say you love me, but talk's cheap. Faith without works is what? Dead. So saying it is one thing. You all have had people say stuff to you, and you're going, yeah, right. Yeah, right. You know, the deal with God is he knows our heart. He is not persuaded with our flowery words. He already knows our heart. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know, but he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. You can't trick him. You can't fool him. But he loves a heart that says, God, I am going to serve you. And I'm going to serve your people. See, that's delighting yourself in the Lord. You say, well, God should be happy that I showed up once a month in his church building. Now, God's not looking for a date. He doesn't want a girlfriend. He wants a bride. He wants a wife. He doesn't want weekend visitation. He wants full time, all the time. And if you will delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. See, sometimes we preach stuff like this or we receive stuff like this with condemnation. It's like you're just a worthless, punky little Christian because you're not doing the right stuff. You should grow up, you jerk. Sometimes it's preached like that or taught like that. But it really should be taught like we're trying to teach it today. If you will delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. These things that are the basics of delighting yourself in the Lord are going to pay huge, big dividends in your life, in your world, in your family, in your church, in your community. Huge, big dividends. Next week, remember, we're going to talk about what are the desires of our heart and how does God give us those. Well, let's read some of the rest of these verses here. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That sounds like growing into something, doesn't it? That sounds like we're building something. That sounds like we're gaining something there. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine or the trickery of men or the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There are little voices in your head and there are little voices in your world trying to distract you from serving God. Trying to tell you that God doesn't really love you, he's not really good for you, you don't want to get too serious about him, a little bit of church goes a long way. Last week we talked about a little dabble do ya, you know, a pinch to grow an inch stuff. We talked about that last week, and it's not true with God. God says, I want you to love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. If you do that, we're good. So Christianity won't cost you a lot, it just will cost you everything. But what you get is exactly what you're looking for anyway. What you get back from God is what people are looking for when they go to the Bud Light. It's what people are looking for when they turn on the porn. It's what people are looking for when they're addicted to whatever they're addicted to. It's what people are looking for when they're just trying to chill out. Maybe they're not running to a sinful thing, but they're just trying to chill out and relax and de-stress. You see, God can do that for you better than a Matlock marathon. I just need to go camping. Go camping. That's cool. But camping will not answer the deepest needs you have in your heart. God will. Take God with you camping. That's double awesome there. But the things we turn to trying to meet our own needs, God says, I can do a lot better than that for you. If you'll delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will do that. That's what I'm about. Well, I thought God was trying to kill all of our fun and joy. No, you're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. In the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. I love that verse in the Bible. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Wow. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that kind of stuff. And God said, if you'll delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Let me read just a little more here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, and that's Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now, the church is called the body of Christ. You are members of the body of Christ. And when we get together, we're supposed to fit together like a body, every joint, every ligament supplying a function, and we're complete when we're together and when we're serving each other and when we're taking care of each other. We're strong. When parts of our body start fighting the other parts of our body, that's called cancer. It doesn't work out so well. It's disease. And we have disease in the church sometimes when members fight each other. We have that happen sometimes. And it's sad. We want those to be short and forgiven and move on. We want lots of love and lots of forgiveness with each other. Well, I don't go to the church because they're negative and they fight. Well, we do that occasionally. But hopefully we get through that quickly and we love each other and we move on. And that's what we want to do at the Life Center. One of our values is we love diversity. So even though you're all a little strange, we love you anyway. Because we love diversity. And I can stand up here and think most of you love me because you love diversity too. And I can be okay with that. I better move on to the next topic. But serving is so important. The five ascension gifts, and that's what it says in your notes, the ascension gifts, that's the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher. Those were given to teach everybody else how to serve and do ministry to one another. Serving's a really important part of delighting yourself in the Lord and Him giving you the desires of your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about a lot of other gifts. You know, gifts of helps, gifts of administration. There's lots of other gifts that we all have that if we will implement them in the cause of Christ, we're delighting ourselves in the Lord and everything's working the way it should. Number five is giving. God is a giver. If you're going to delight yourself in the Lord, you'll have to become a giver too. The most popular verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave, right? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. God's a giver. And if you need to know that our main verse is, if you will delight yourself in the Lord, He will what? Give you the desires of your heart. See, God's not a taker. God's a giver. There is somebody that's a taker. His name's Satan, and he's a liar, and he accuses God of all sorts of stuff, and he accuses the church of all sorts of stuff. It's just not true. God's a giver. He's a giver. He's going to give us eternal life. He's going to give us heaven. He's going to give us the desires of our heart. He gave us His only begotten Son. He gave us those five ministries we just talked about, and He gives us so much. God's a giver. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. I'm going to preach myself hoarse here today. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, and then you will suffer, but be happier suffering anyway. No, that isn't what it says. What's the next verse say? And your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. I need to get a barn and a vat. That's what I'm thinking. I know some of you have barns and they're filled with stuff, but it's not plenty. Maybe it's plenty of that. I don't know. But God says, He's talking about wealth. He's talking about happiness. He's talking about joy. He's talking about peace. He's talking about grace. If you will honor God with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, He's not a taker. He's a giver. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your bank accounts, your IRAs, the happiness in your family, it's going to be filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow with wine. That's pretty awesome. So if you delight in God, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Tithing and giving beyond your tithe is a primary way that you acknowledge God is first and you trust Him. And I know the other four have been a lot easier than this one for some of us. So the other four is, yeah, I'll pray. Okay, I get it. I need to pray. Okay, yeah, I get it. I need to read the Bible and know what the Bible says, you know, and yeah, I should show up in church more often maybe, you know, and okay, I get that, and serving, yeah, I could hand out bulletins or folders or, you know, mop, or maybe when the potluck happens, I'll help roll out the tables and wipe them off and roll them back. I'll help serve, but now don't be talking about my money. Don't be talking about my money, because all the church wants is my money. Who said that? Who says that? Satan says that. Because God's a giver, He's not a taker. God always promises, if you give, I will give back to you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together. That sounds like a cereal box, doesn't it? But the last part doesn't sound like a cereal box, and running over. I mean, I bought some cereal before, and I opened them and go, whoop, where's the raisins, you know? Why did they need such a big box for that little bit? Because it's shaken down. But God said, shaken together and running over. I would love someday. It's like the Pillsbury biscuit box. You know, whack it and go. You're like, cool. I mean, wouldn't it be great if cereal did that? Open up. But God says, when you give, I'm a bigger giver than you. When you give, if you will delight yourself in your giving, delight yourself in me with your giving, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will multiply back into your life. And for some of us, it is our money that we put first instead of God. And then we say, God, why aren't you meeting my needs? God, how come you're not giving me the desires of my heart? God, how come I can't hear your voice? God, how come you're not giving me direction? God, how come you didn't warn me about that thing that was coming in my life? God, and we have these, God, I'm going to blame you. And God's going, Kelly, 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 if you would honor me with your possessions and with the first fruit of your substance, I'd fill your barns with plenty and your vats would be overflowing. We could go through lots of verses and lots of weeks talking about this. Well, let's run down to verse 5 here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And what? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will do that. So these are the five basics. Each one of these can go much deeper than we've talked about today. None of these are negative. None of these will hurt you or reduce your quality of life. None of these. Will be bad for you or will subtract from you. None of these. These are the five basics of delighting yourself in the Lord. They will all produce abundance in us and all around us at God, as God gives us the desires of our heart. Now, you probably wanted to end on a happier note than money, huh? But it's a good time to take the offering. If you're not convinced, sit on your wallet and keep your purse closed. Because we don't want anybody giving out of compulsion or feeling like they've been manipulated or coerced. If you don't believe God will bless you, if you don't believe God will fill your barns and your vats, if you don't believe that if you give, God will give back to you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, then keep your money. We don't want it. But if you believe God will bless you, and if you believe God will multiply back into your life, and if you believe that's one of the ways you delight in the Lord and you put Him first, then go ahead and tithe. Go ahead and give offerings. And you'll love the results. You'll love the results. Amen. Ushers, why don't you come? We'll receive our offering today. Get your Connect cards out if you would. I had one. Arby's got one.